Welcome to this afternoon's audio recording of Choral Evensong from Belfast Cathedral for Sunday the 1st of May, the third Sunday of Easter. The preacher is Dean Stephen Ford. When the service ends, please remember to hang up straight away.
Here begins the ninth verse of the 38th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. A writing of King Hezekiah of Judah, after he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. I said, in the noontide of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look upon mortals no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night, you bring me to an end. I cry for help until morning. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. From day to night, you bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane, I clamor. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upwards. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my security. But what can I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. All my sleep has fled because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things people live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health and make me live. Surely it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but you have held back my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they thank you, as I do this day. Fathers, make known to children your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing to stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord. Here ends the first lesson.
Here beginneth the 17th verse of the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes. Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her, because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth in the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Thank you. rise with righteousness.
And make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people.
And bless thy inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord. Given thine only Son to be unto us both a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace that we may always most thankfully receive that his inestimable benefit, and also daily endeavor ourselves to follow the blessed steps of his most holy life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. We beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ.
As this day we hear the written word, so may we know in our hearts the living word. Amen. I wonder if anyone in the cathedral this afternoon, or indeed any members of the choir this afternoon, had been tempted to run in today's Belfast Marathon. I suspect not. And if anyone had asked you, your reply might well have been, "That would kill me." My son Michael did run the 26.2 miles of the Belfast Marathon a few years ago. And when he crossed the finishing line at Ormo Park, perhaps like many today, he collapsed onto the grass and he exclaimed, "I'm dead." And in truth, it did take him a number of weeks fully to recover. But sometimes running in a marathon can indeed be deadly. That is why there's always a fleet of cardiac ambulances on hand wherever a marathon takes place. But what if you were not competing in the marathon today, but had a heart attack? With the traffic chaos caused by the race, would you get to hospital in time? I recently heard of a situation from Germany. Two friends were leaving a city centre office block in Frankfurt, and one of them suffered a catastrophic heart attack. The traffic in the street outside was gridlocked, but stuck in the traffic just outside the office block was an ambulance. The friend ran across the road, and the ambulance crew put the patient in the back. But the traffic was still terrible. It took the ambulance 45 minutes to reach the nearest hospital. But there is a rule for German ambulance crews. they are not allowed to stop CPR until they reach the hospital door. For 45 minutes, that man had no heart output. Technically, for 45 minutes, that man was dead. But the crew did not stop CPR until they reached the emergency department. And there, the man's heart was restarted. And in time, the man made a full recovery. He was dead for 45 minutes, but he lived. So was that a coincidence? Was it fate? Or was it meant to be? The story of Lazarus, Jesus' very close friend from Bethany, is a story powerfully told, because what story could be more powerful than the story of a man who had died and was brought back to life? But this story is also a masterclass to unlock our understanding of Jesus and the meaning of the Easter Day resurrection, which was yet to happen. Any good science teacher will have a plan for their lessons, and the best lessons will be planned like this. The class will be given an explanation of the scientific theory. Then there will be a practical demonstration of that theory, preferably with Bunsen burners and the largest explosion you can imagine. And for the class, that will lead to their learning outcomes, to a changed understanding. And that's precisely what John, the Gospel writer, wants to happen for each of us as we are taken through the story of Lazarus, and as we ask ourselves, what does resurrection mean for me? Jesus had been told by his disciples that his close friend Lazarus was critically ill. Bethany was only 2 miles from Jerusalem, but Jesus had delayed, and Lazarus had died. Now, 4 days too late, Jesus makes his journey to Bethany. Why? And why then? It is Martha, the ever-practical sister of Lazarus, who sets out to challenge Jesus before he even reaches Bethany. Her greeting is filled with grief and passion. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And yet she also demonstrates a faith, a trust in Jesus, that she cannot even understand for herself. But even now, she says, I know that God will give you whatever you ask him. And here St. John carries Martha and us, the readers, on a journey towards a greater understanding. Jesus answers, Martha, your brother will rise again. But what is resurrection? What is Easter resurrection? In both Russia and Ukraine, the girl's name Anastasia is very popular. It is the Greek word for resurrection. But it's a word that has a rich meaning. Anastasia, resurrection, can simply mean rising up in the morning when you get up from sleep. It can also mean when a city or a people rise up to defend themselves from attack. You could say the word resurrection could be used in this way to describe how the people of Ukraine have risen up to defend themselves from the Russian invasion. But the word also means rising from the dead. Martha answers Jesus, I know that Lazarus will rise from the dead at the end of time, when God brings all of history to its fulfillment and its conclusion. Now we come to the heart of Jesus' teaching. Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you don't need to wait until the end of time for God to act or for human history to find its fulfillment. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, they will live. This is one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, which is why it features in almost every funeral service. Jesus is telling Martha something shocking. Jesus says, you don't need to wait until the end of time for God to act. God's time is now. My call on your life is God's word of resurrection, not for the future, but for today, not for somebody else, but for you. And then he asks the crunch question, Martha, do you believe this? Martha, will you trust me? Will you believe in me? Will you rely on me? Martha actually sidesteps Jesus' direct challenge. She replies, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the sent one. But I'm not yet sure what it means for me or for my brother who has been dead these 4 long days. You see, resurrection faith is never easy. Resurrection faith demands a journey from doubt to trust, from questions asked to answers embraced, from darkness to light, from death to eternal life, as we said at last week's baptism and today's. The Easter Gospels make this so clear. For Martha, as for Peter and Thomas and all of the disciples, resurrection faith is not a given. It is a conscious choice that we make. Do you believe this? Always has two possible answers. No, I do not believe, is just as much an answer as yes, I do. And God our Father always leaves that decision for you and to me to make. Why then would we be surprised when Martha calls her sister Mary with the words, the teacher is here? And Mary has the same question for Jesus as her sister. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then the chorus of the Jewish crowd also asks a question. They say, could the man who made blind people see not have turned up a bit earlier and healed Lazarus of his illness? For then he would not be dead today. But here, on this fourth day, Jesus will not demonstrate the power of God to heal a sick man. This is the day for the most powerful demonstration of God's love that is possible. Today, after 3 days, Jesus will call on God his Father to raise a dead man to life, Lazarus. What is Easter resurrection? It is a tomb found in a cave. It is a stone rolled away. It is bandages and a face napkin. It is the agonized heart of Jesus in the face of death. It is the voice of Jesus calling loudly to Lazarus, come to me. It is human death, overturned by the powerful, life-changing actions of God. It is the hope of God, not for some far-off, distant point in the future, but for today in the here and now. And it is Jesus asking, do you believe this? So what does Easter mean to you and to me? Is it powerful music to stir our souls? Is it the dramatic liturgy of the Easter Vigil service? Is it eating far too much chocolate than what is good for us? Or does Easter change our understanding of both life and death? Does Easter call us to turn over our lives to the person of Jesus as we hear his call, come to me? So then, does our Easter resurrection mean that we will wake up from our slumbers, that we will stir ourselves into action? And that God's promises from darkness to light, from fear to hope, from death to life, are not promises for some far distant future, but are God's promises made for you and me today. And Jesus asks each of us, do you believe this? And one final question. How will this resurrection faith, hope, and life guide each one of us when we cast our votes in the elections on Thursday? To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Let us pray.
This time of conflict, unrest, injustice and violence, let us pray for the peace of the world. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray thee, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with thy pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility thy kingdom may go forward till the earth is filled with the knowledge of thy love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the work of our hospitals, for all nursing staff and support staff, for doctors, for those engaged in surgery. Almighty God, whose blessed Son went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness, continue, we beseech thee, this his gracious work among us, especially in the hospitals and infirmaries of our land. Cheer, heal, and sanctify the sick. Grant to the physicians, surgeons, and nurses wisdom and skill, sympathy and patience. And send down thy blessing on all who labor to relieve suffering and to forward thy purposes of love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for those known to us who are sick or suffering. All members of this cathedral community who are unwell at this time. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are sick or suffering. Help them to know your love, that they may seek strength from you and find peace and healing in your presence. Be to them their strong rock and mighty deliverer, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This week, the General Synod of the Church of Ireland will meet over the course of 3 days. And so let us pray for God to guide the deliberations and discussions and decisions. Lord God, the Father of lights and the fountain of all wisdom, who hast promised through thy Son, Jesus Christ, to be with thy universal church to the end of the world, we humbly beseech thee with thy favor to behold the bishops, clergy, and people who are about to assemble and take counsel together in thy name for this church. Mercifully grant that thy Holy Spirit may rest upon them, enlighten and guide them, and that all their consultations may be prospered to the advancement of thy honor and glory and the welfare of thy church. Lead them and us into all truth, that so this church may evermore hold fast and abide in the apostolic and true Catholic faith, and serve thee without fear in pureness of worship and life, according to thy holy will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. As we conclude our time of prayer, let us give thanks for the church and seek for ourselves grace to continue in that fellowship. Almighty God, whose mercy is over all thy works, we praise thee for the blessings which have been brought to mankind by thy holy church throughout all the world. We bless thee for the grace of thy sacraments, for our fellowship in Christ with thee and with one another, for the teaching of the scriptures and for the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for the holy example of thy saints in all ages, for thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, and for the memory and example of all that has been true and good in their lives. And we humbly beseech thee that we may be numbered with them in the great company of the redeemed in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who hast given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Within the resurrection of Christ, may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may you know the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, among you and remaining with you always. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us for Choral Evensong from Belfast Cathedral. Please hang up now.